Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And the Nashville Predators training camp is underway. They've been on the ice all week long. And to help us talk about that with a season kind of unbelievably getting started already next week, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good buddy Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, my man. Hope you are as well. And Adam, good. Obviously yesterday a move made by the Nashville Predators, officially signing Luke Cunnan to a two-year contract, first reported by yourself. So good job, Adam, for getting the scoop on that. What do you anticipate Cunnan's role being with this team as you look ahead to what their lineup could look like on opening night?
Well, I do believe that Luke Cunnan has top six potential. On his first day of practice yesterday, he was skating with Colton Sissons and Kalle Järnkrok, which could be a pretty interesting third line if that is what John Hines decides to do. But it made sense to get it done, of course. Restricted free agents don't have a ton of leverage, especially those who do not have arbitration rights, like Luke Cunnan. So really, his only method of leverage was not to practice, but he was at the meetings. He was working off ice, but he just wasn't taking the ice. So as you said, Robbie, with the season right around the corner, the Predators open the season a week from today, if you can believe it. They had no time to waste in regards to getting as many players on the ice as possible. So it was good to get it done.
All right, so give me your hot takes fresh off the ice, Adam. What's jumping out at you? Who's jumping out at you? What are your strong impressions so far from in the early moments of what, like you just said, will be a very short camp?
Well, Rex Rode, I don't mean to bow out of the hot takery, but it's been hard to have a strong opinion of this team so far, just because they have been missing so many important players. Matthew Schoen has yet to practice. We know that Mikael Granlund has been dealing with immigration, so he hasn't been on the ice yet. Eric Halla, whose wife gave birth to their first child last week, is undergoing his quarantine requirements. He hasn't been on the ice yet. Luke Cunnan just showed up. Mattias Ekholm started skating yesterday for the first time. If I'm not mistaken, I don't believe I've seen Rocco Grimaldi on the ice. So it's been hard to have an opinion just because they've been missing so many key players. Now, they're off today. They're scrimmaging tomorrow. And I think that will give us a better idea of what John Hines intends to do once you can see them in game situations, you know, special teams and things of that nature. I mean, I think the Johansson line, which has been together through camp, looks good. Of course, I am not one of those people that puts a ton of stock into practice. But without so many key players on the ice through most of or all of camp, it's really been hard for me to come up with some clear takeaways so far.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, look, we all know how important that top line is going to be with Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, and, you know, obviously those guys getting back to the level that we've seen them compete at before. But also, I mean, Matt Duchene, he's going to have a bounce-back season. So whenever the opportunity comes for him to get back on the ice and Granlund to get here and get on the ice, number one, how important is it that those two find chemistry right away? And number two, based on what you've seen out of those two together, how much confidence do you have that it can be a good line in the top six in today's NHL?
I do think it can be a good line. If you look at some of the fancy stats of their play together at 5-on-5 last season, the numbers were solid. Of course, we know they started off like gangbusters at the beginning of last season with Philip Forsberg. But for me, it's less about those two and more about whoever is going to be on the other wing. Because I think you can pencil in Granlund and Duchene to be two-thirds of that second line. Is it Luke Cunnan? Is it Elie Tolvanen? Is it someone else? I mean, I think it comes down to who ends up playing on that other side of Matthew Shane with Granlund on one wing. So that sort of goes back to what I was talking about. We haven't seen Matthew Shane and Mikael Granlund on the ice. So we haven't seen them skating with a third player. So we have no idea who that third player is going to be. So I do have confidence that Mikael Granlund and Matthew Shane can work it out, but I need to see who they're going to be playing with to complete that line to have a better idea.
On Tolvanen, Adam, do you think that, you know, maybe it was just a case of early on some media cough, looking in the mirror, overselling him a bit a couple of years ago, at the time, do you have concern that he is a guy who can be an effective top six forward in this league at this point in his career?
Well, I can certainly remember a certain column written during the Winter Olympics where Elie Tolvanen was made out to be the second coming. But I digress.
I don't remember that at all.
I think we're all a little bit guilty of it, and the Predators are guilty of it too. I mean, I understand that their job in part is to pump up the tires of their prospects, but the Predators didn't necessarily, pump the brakes either when it came to what they expected from Elie Tolvanen. And look, he had a great year in 2017-18. He was setting rookie records in the KHL. He played in the Olympics. He played in the World Junior Championship. We expected a lot from him. I really do see this season as sort of a make-or-break year for Elie Tolvanen. I'm not going to go as far as to say that if he doesn't play well this year that he is the dreaded B-word, which is, in this case, bust. I'm less concerned about his ability to score. You know, let me put it this way. Let's put it into basketball terms because we all like basketball. Elie Tolvanen, to me, is the equivalent of a spot-up three-point shooter in the NBA. To pull from my Duke fandom, Elie Tolvanen is a lot like early J.J. Redick. He's not going to create his own shot in the NHL. He's going to need someone to feed him in the right spot for that elite one-timer that he has. I think he'll be great on the power play. I think if he were to play on a line with Granlund and Duchesne, for example, he would have to do a better job of finding the open spaces and creating offense for himself as opposed to relying on others to help him create it. I think he's gotten better at it. Those who coach him, specifically Carl Taylor of the Milwaukee Admirals, believe he's gotten better at it, and Carl thinks Elie is ready for prime time, but it's sort of a I believe it when I see it kind of situation. I think he does have potential in the right spot, but it has to be the exact right spot. It has to be, it has to be perhaps easier assignments at 5-on-5. It has to be ample power play time. You know, is Elie Tolvanen going to be a specialist in the NHL, a power play specialist? Maybe that's what he ends up being. But until we see it over the course of a full season, we're going to have to wait and see.
Adam, how realistic do you think a bounce-back season is for Pekka-Rinne, and how do you think the schedule sets up in order for him to accomplish that?
I do think it's realistic because Pekka is incredibly competitive. And I spoke to Pekka the other day for a story upcoming on The Athletic, and I talked to him about the decision that was made to start UC Saros in the postseason because, as we all know, it was the first time in 12 years that a goaltender other than Pekka started a postseason game for the Predators, and he told me that he expected it. He was not surprised by the decision. He thought that UC Saros played really well before the pause, and he had earned the right to play in the postseason. But, for as mild-mannered as Pekka-Rinne is, he is also incredibly competitive, and I don't expect him to see the net that easy. The schedule sets up for him to get a lot more playing time than maybe he would in an 82-game season. But I also think Pekka understands that this could be it. Like, I think everything that Pekka does this season is going to be viewed through the prism of, is this the last time that Pekka-Rinne is going to do blank? And I think he understands that as well. I mean, I don't think Peck is thinking super far into the future, but he just became a dad. He's 38 years old. It's the final year of his contract. I think it's only natural for him to think that this might be his last season. So I don't expect him to go quietly.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, and frankly, I mean, I think a normal season, he's probably, you know, like a 30-game guy. It's like a total flip-flop from like 2 years ago, you see, but this is going to be a little bit more demanding on him. A little bit off topic here, Adam, but like, what's up with Peter Laviolette being all of a sudden he's Shecky Green over here in Washington? the guy says nothing for years, and all of a sudden, I'm every day on Twitter, I'm seeing some hilarious Laviolette quote. What's up with this?
Yeah, I don't know who you referenced. I'm not that old, but it's jarring. I feel like, you know, it's like the Grinch's heart growing three sizes that day, or whatever the saying is, and how the Grinch stole Christmas. It's kind of unnerving because he was devoid mostly of a sense of humor for 5 years here, and now he's in Washington and he's yucking it up. Maybe it's because he's on Zoom and he doesn't have to look at the media. You know, maybe it was just me. Maybe he's happy to be rid of me. Who knows? But it is weird. I've seen it a couple of times, and I'm just like, I don't know who this person is. I've never met this guy. So maybe it's the honeymoon phase in Washington. We'll see what happens if they struggle out of the game.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic.
How about Don Rickles?
Yeah, Don Rickles.
I understand. Don Rickles, I know. I don't know who the other
You guys know him, right?
Yes, we do. Yes. It is amazing how often Google per show Check Joe Rexroad proves himself as an old man. It's awesome.
Yes, he is quite old.
I have good poll questions.
Yes, you have great poll questions. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Adam, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little of what Adam had to say there. Also get to some breaking news on the Tennessee Volunteers. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.